check. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive on mic. Just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc, I rip to a tear. Switch a scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, know through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for
welcome to another edition of Anti-Media Radio with your host, S.M. Gibson. We've got our co-host back tonight.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Dedrick Young is in the house.
I'm back, guys.
So we just finished up the State of the Union and the Republican response to the State of the Union. And I guess it's now the Rand Paul response to the both responses of the State of the Union.
And the threats.
Oh, yeah.
You have to update us on the threats,
isn't it? Okay, well, he's basically saying the exact same rhetoric that he's given us for, I guess this is the sixth State of the Union in a row now. For the seventh year in a row, he is now saying that he's not going to relent until we close Guantanamo down. What's funny about that is that there's 117 uncharged prisoners sitting in Guantanamo right now as we speak that with his pen, he could have them released.
Hmm.
So
will it happen?
No. If it was going to happen, it would have happened 6 years ago. No, it's just, it's the same old same. It's, I'm going to do this, and everything stays the same. He sounded like he was in campaign mode, basically, except that he's got nothing to run for again.
Hmm.
He made no admission that it's basically been it hasn't worked out the way he's wanted it to, but it's politics as usual. It'd be the same with the Republican in there, I'll say that.
Can you fill us in on his statements about middle class, economics?
Yeah, his solution for everything is more government, and he was applauded by half the aisle all night. He talked about how he wants to make everything free, basically, for everybody. He wants to have child care for free. Okay. Now, I get, that's a great idea. Do you want the government taking care of your kid?
No, I wasn't taken care of by the government.
Right, exactly.
But, so I guess some people in certain situations, need those government services. But,
Have you ever heard a positive story about the VA or the DA? Ever heard any good stories coming out of there? Who runs those?
Well, hey, we most definitely haven't been hearing great stories from the VA.
Exactly the point. So what I'm saying is let's just hand over our infants and toddlers to these people because they're going to do a great job. They can indoctrinate them younger. That'll be great. Also, something else he said was talking about community college. He wants to drop the price down to zero.
To zero.
To zero, just like high schools. Now, if you talk about that, it's a good idea because you all you hear is education. We're going to give people all this free education. Mm-hmm. I've met a lot of people that have gone with four-year degrees, with master's degrees, mm-hmm. and they can barely spell their name.
Yeah.
The answer is not more of what we've got.
Yeah, which is a screw.
Right. The answer is to change what we have to actually start educating people. Okay. If he wants to, if he says that we have two extra years of community college and they're going to be free, that's going to turn into high school plus is what it is. And nobody's going to be able to get a job without having those two extra years.
What do they call it, the exit exam?
Yeah, and there's also going to be stipulations that you have to have good grades to get the requirements and all this. But I guarantee you, if you want to add jobs, you're not going to do them this way. We already have a caller calling in from area code 253. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good. What would you like to talk about?
You that caller?
Looks like we're having some technical difficulties with that.
Well, they just wasn't answering, but, you know, I know he touched on a lot of different topics.
He did. Like,
you know, minimum wage, you know. What's your thoughts on that? You think?
I mean, again, the problem with the minimum wage, sure, on the surface, it sounds fantastic. Everybody's going to have more money, blah, 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 blah. The problem is the fact that people supposedly need $15 an hour to survive. That goes back to the origins of the collapse of this economy, which is the Federal Reserve.
But in the another thing, you know, could you imagine the amount of job loss? Like,
oh yeah, there'd be computers coming up on every block.
Well, McDonald's already have like computers already.
McDonald's already does it. Walmart already does it. All these companies already do it. Do you think that's not just going to speed that process along? You're not going to have anybody ring you up for anything anywhere if a company has to pay them $15 an hour to do something a machine can do. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's business.
We know that we can pay the machines now.
Absolutely. You know, he talked about, he kind of made this jab at Russia tonight, too. I thought that was funny. He, talking about the economy, he kind of poked at him and said, you know, Putin had you know, done all these things and all the strategic brilliance, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, look where they're at now. Look where their economy's at now. And he just kind of gave this little smirk. And the reason the economy came down was based on the Saudis. Mm-hmm. Another call coming in, area code 817. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. What would you like to talk about?
Well, the one thing I wanted to talk about is why Obama is not talking about these private central banks that have pretty much bought off our government and are controlling things.
I think you just said it, because he's been bought off and he's being controlled by them.
It just, you know, I seen the union speech tonight, and you know, it's just, you know, you got this left right paradigm to where, you know, you got the left right the left wing of the bird, you got the right wing of the bird, but you know, it's all a part of the same bird, which is collectivism.
Absolutely.
And these people have an agenda, and the agenda is a world government to where the banks control, you know, pretty much the entire globe, and anybody who wants freedom or prosperity, you know, they're pretty much, they don't get any media airtime or anything. I mean, it's just, it just kind of pissed me off, you know?
Right, and you know, it's the same people you're talking about already are controlling the media. They're already controlling Obama. They're controlling the next president that we're going to have more than likely. And that's why we have to do, as people, is to get the word out there and keep spreading it through all the different means, whether it be social media or just talking to your friends.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be done by the people at the top.
Yeah, because what I do is I've been a victim of what's called organized stalking, which is like a modern-day COINTELPRO operation, which is conducted by more than likely the Department of Defense. And what they do is, this can be anywhere from if you cross somebody and they don't like you, or if you're in a relationship with somebody and they know somebody who's in this type of organization or, you know, whatever, they can put you on a list. And this list means that you're put under 24-hour surveillance. And so now basically what they're doing is they spread lies and disinformation to people in order to gain their participation into the surveillance, and it creates more like a Adolf Hitler Gestapo within the United States, and is training people to accept being a snitch or a just an informant for the state.
Absolutely.
Now
they do the entire thing too, and they spread it by fear. The whole "see something, say something" campaign. The whole rhetoric, and exactly what you're talking about, is being spread through society by scaring people to death. That you should be scared of your neighbor, and the people you should actually be scared of are the people that are given this information to begin with.
Exactly. And what they do is they tap your electronic devices, like your cell phone. You can actually tap any electronic device that picks up on a broadband signal, which means any device that is compatible with Part 15 of FCC must accept any interference given, even that may cause an undesired operation. And this is the same exact label is stamped on the back of every TV, radio. It's not stamped on cell phones, but it's the same concept. And basically what they can do is they can interfere with that that signal, and they can send a transmission to the receiving end of that electronic device. So basically what they do is the same thing with like MK Ultra, where they use subliminal suggestions in order to condition the human mind into submission. And so the same thing with this organized stalking, which is what it's called. They could put you under the surveillance program, and they need some type of probable cause or whatever to say this is why we have him under surveillance. So they condition you to the protocol that they have set for you, and then that way they can condition you to it. That way, whenever the informants come at you with psychological warfare, which are considered triggers, they can get a response from you, which in all reality is just basically provoking your evoked thought potential. So what I'm saying, it's all MK Ultra. So what I'm saying is this is happening on a large scale to hundreds of thousands of civilians in the United States and worldwide, mainly NATO countries. And, it's for control, mainly for statistics on how people react and, due to subliminal suggestions, which is subconscious whispering. You got to think about who's conducting this type of operation. And when you really look at it, it's the central banks who have bought our government off, who have basically, the Constitution states that the United States government is supposed to create its own money interest-free. But you got these central banks, for some reason, due to Jekyll Island back in 1910 and, the economic scare that they used right before they actually passed the bill during Christmas break. Since these bankers have been in power, they basically loan money to the government in order to fund the government. So now our government has to pay interest on these central banks, and that puts us in debt, and we cannot pay the debt back. The debt is it's impossible to pay back.
Didn't you hear tonight, though? Obama said it was down by 2/3 tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. the debt's impossible to pay back. For instance, if I'm the first person who creates money and I say, look, I'm going to loan you $10 and tomorrow you got to pay me $25, and you say, okay, because you need the money. And so I loan you the $10. Tomorrow I come back and I say, hey, where's my $25 at? You don't have it because you can't have it. So you need to borrow more money from me in order to pay it back. Now you're in debt. So the debt can never pay back.
Exactly. And that person's now in your hip pocket for life, basically.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your telephone call. A lot of informative information. Thank you so much. You have a good night.
You too.
All right, thanks.
He hit on a lot of great points. Definitely, the situation where he was talking about, I know that's going to sound crazy to a lot of people. I actually had a friend of mine that was under surveillance, like he was talking about for 90 days.
I actually never heard of it.
Yeah, I had a friend that he went through a scenario and a situation where he was under surveillance for 90 days. He didn't know it, but after the 90-day mark of his run-in, which he didn't get in trouble for, he didn't do anything wrong, didn't do anything illegal, but he had communication with the FBI, and for the next 90 days, everything in his house was going on and off for whatever reason. His phones wouldn't work. You could hear stuff going on, and he says after a 90-day period, it just all went away. So it was like he was being surveilled for that entire period, and they found out that he wasn't doing anything wrong, and I guess they went on to the next person. Area code 619.
Yeah, we've got to touch on that again.
Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing way better than I thought it was going to be, but thank you for asking, though. Well, I'm not going to mention my name because I got myself in a whole lot of hot water recently, so I might as well, I gotta stay on the down low.
Okay, so what you want to talk about tonight?
Well, in a way, like learning from Mr. Frank Underwood, pretty much, we gotta learn to fight this giant whale, take down this giant whale one bite at a time, basically. Before I get into that, it's quite ironic that they say that you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Although it sounds like a bad idea, pretty much, in a way, if you know how to play like mental chess per se, if you're able to pull it off, it might be not just good, but it might just be great.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Looks like we lost our caller there. Sorry about that. Try to call in here in a second. Try to call in again here.
Yeah, I think it was kind of choppy or something.
Something going on technical, but yeah, as far as the banks controlling everything, he made such great points, and it goes back to, 1910 and Jekyll, and it goes back to 1913 and the IRS and Federal Reserve. He hit on all those great points, and he talked about a one-world government, and I think a lot of people think, oh, it's going to be this, everything's going to transform into this thing, and I don't necessarily believe that. Yeah. I think it's going to stay like it is, and I've harped on this point before, but I believe that the United States figured out something that countries throughout history never figured out. And to me, it's all based on the psychological effects of a country having its own flag and its supposed own leader. We control so many countries. The United States does, England does. These countries that are controlled by these world banks, they control all these nations, but they allow them to keep their own local elected leaders, and they allow them to keep their own country's name and their own flag. Other than that, they're completely controlled by these exact same banks that he was talking about. So it's an illusion of people being sovereign and staying in their own countries. But in reality, it is a one-world government because they have been taken over. It's just covertly.
Yeah. We've been seeing it for a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
The current president does an office, huh?
Oh, way before, right?
You have to get rid of the banks.
Absolutely. But, that goes back to, they talked about the bailouts. Like, look at the bailouts. That's the biggest joke ever.
The biggest joke. And the bailout was just ridiculous. I feel it could have been a better, resolution.
Well, yeah, there could have been. They should have let them fail. That was the resolution because that's what the free market's supposed to rely on is failures and success. Well, those banks failed. They collapsed. But we're told by our government they're too big to fail. Nothing should be too big to fail. If anything is considered too big to fail, we don't need it there because it's being propped up and we're all being propped up. If society can collapse because of one institution, then it should not exist. Right. And the government wants people to believe that you need certain banks. And more importantly, you need them to stay safe. And that's just not the case. You don't. It's happened for thousands of years, people living in communities. You say, well, they don't have all the advancements. They still live and survive. And a lot of those people are a lot happier than the people living in this country today. The solution, as opposed to what the president said tonight, is not more free stuff. We have to get people back into their own communities and producing for themselves.
Yes, it starts within the community.
Absolutely it does. But as long as Big Brother's on top of you, telling
you... Well, you know, Big Brother has to stay on top of you. Yes, though.
Right.
You know?
And
and not just on the home front. We all over the place, you know? We're in Yemen now.
Oh, well, we knew that was coming.
Yeah,
we saw that coming.
We
talked about that.
I wasn't expecting it so fast.
Well, look.
You know, now we're about to evacuate everyone from the embassy.
Right.
We have over like 300 Marines there, right?
Right. And does it kind of reminds you of the Benghazi situation a little bit, which we know they were running guns.
So look, I know we've been saying this.
Everything
like
reminds
shows.
You of something.
So let's take this back to Paris.
Right.
So Paris is what?
Boston.
And now we have Yemen. And if they're not evacuated quickly, we
right.
will have another what?
Benghazi. And it all ties in together because they fooled you once. So they're just going to just keep on running with it. It's absolutely asinine that people keep falling for these same things. They started, okay, is it not ironic to every single one of our listeners out there that the day after the French bombings, they're talking about Yemen and a guy that died 3 years prior who was 99% in the CIA. He was in the Pentagon in 2002 after they'd established he had bought three of the hijackers' tickets. And he's an imam giving the prayer in the Pentagon. So they're talking about this man the day after Paris and Yemen and how they're such a threat. And it's what, less than a week later, they're talking about Yemen again.
And it seemed like, I know it's a lot taking place, even in Nigeria. You know, and it's almost like, what's next?
Right. You know,
they
can turn the page in 2 seconds. It's are they going to turn the page? Are they, what, this is how the script usually goes. They get what they want. As soon as they get it, you don't hear about it again until they need something else. Because you're going to get a fake crisis that pops up.
Ebola.
Right, exactly. Ebola is a perfect example. Or a plane crash where they can talk about this. Or something else where they can talk about, there's a plane missing. There's a plane missing.
How many planes went missing this
year?
Oh, my
gosh. My mind went missing last year listening to all the stuff on TV. I tell you that. I tell you something else that's been in the news. The Chris Kyle American Sniper movie. You told me you watched it last night.
American Sniper was awesome. And Michael Moore called it
what?
He
didn't call it
cowards.
Anything. He didn't call it anything. He said that his grandfather was shot by a sniper in World War II and that he grew up knowing that snipers shoot people in the backs and believing they were cowards.
Well,
so what do you actually know about Chris Kyle outside of Clint Eastwood's interpretation of Chris Kyle? Okay, so this is what we know about Chris Kyle. We're going to have a big story about all this out tomorrow on the antimedia.org, but I'll catch you up on some of the highlights. Basically, he was not a hero at all, despite what the Hollywood rhetoric has made people believe. These are quotes from the actual book that somehow didn't make it into the movie. I don't know how they ever couldn't have. I wondered, quoting Chris Kyle from American Sniper, his book, I wonder how I would feel about killing someone. Now I know it's no big deal. Savage, despicable, evil, that's what we were fighting in Iraq. That's why a lot of people, myself included, called the enemy savages. I only wish I had killed more. You do it until there's no one left to kill. That's what war is. I loved what I did. I'm not lying or exaggerating to say that it was fun. His job was to kill people, and it was fun, and he loved it. So that's not the
mentality. That's how it was portrayed in the movie.
That's not
also.
So you also are you aware that Chris Kyle, he's either somebody that really got off on killing people, or was a liar, or was both. Are you aware that Chris Kyle told a story to multiple people? It's on record on multiple different places online, and we'll have sources to it in our article that comes out tomorrow. That he talked about him and a friend of his going down to New Orleans in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, and being on top of the Superdome, and he personally picked off 30 looters and killed them. That was a story he told. He also told a story about he was on a highway late at night, I think Highway 67, right south of Dallas, and these two men tried to carjack him.
Mm-hmm.
And he told the carjackers that, and this was in another book about him, and this was also done in D Magazine, which was Dallas Magazine, that he told this story to. He said that he told the hijackers, hold on a second, I'm going to reach back here and get my jacket or something. And he says that he grabbed his gun, shot one of them twice in the chest, and turned around fast and shot the other one.
Sounds like a movie.
Listen, it does. Listen, this is his story, though. And then he shot the other guy twice in the chest. And then he says, I sat there, I called the police, I waited on the police to come. I gave him a card, and on this card was a telephone number that would connect the police officers to the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense then told these police officers, he's good. He's one of us. It's all right. He's allowed to kill people.
So,
Right. Exactly. Now you're starting to get...
Was he ever a cowboy?
He was a cowboy. just like George Bush pretended to be a cowboy. So, Lyndon Johnson pretended to be a cowboy. So, yeah, people from Texas don't have an issue with killing people at all. That doesn't come up.
Or being cowboys.
Right.
Not
that all people from Texas kill people. My wife is from Texas, so, not everybody's like that. But there's people like that everywhere in every state. It's just so ironic that these three people that boast about death all happen to be from Texas. But, okay, so then you have – so he said he got off of that. By the way, there's no record. Multiple papers around the country have researched that story. They've talked to police officers. They've talked to coroners. Either A, it never happened and he lied, which is the most probable, or B, you know what? It did happen, and our government's so terrifying that they just let certain people just pick, choose, and kill who they want, and that they're the judge, jury, and executioner. Because that's what happened.
Well, we've been seeing that all year.
We certainly have. But listen, no proof of it. So then we have the third story to demonstrate that Chris Kyle was a liar, was the Jesse Ventura story. I know a lot of people didn't like that he kept going with the lawsuit after he had died. He gave Chris Kyle multiple chances to redact his story while he was alive. Mm-hmm. Everybody said Jesse Ventura, no matter what you think of him, was never going to win that case. Well, he was actually awarded $1.8 million even after Kyle was dead, which his wife didn't have to pay. It was paid by insurance companies. It was paid by HarperCollins, the publisher of American Sniper. So, it wasn't this horribly cruel thing he was doing to his wife, like certain people have you believe. That being said, it was proven in court that he was lying about the Ventura story after he had everyone's sympathies and was dead. Ventura was still awarded $1.8 million. The guy has had nothing but a record of lying.
Hey.
Right.
It fits the script.
Exactly. Exactly what it is. It's a propaganda film. Seth Rogen got in trouble for comparing it to a Nazi propaganda movie. What's ironic about this is, what's the goal of a propaganda movie? It's to get people riled up and feeling a certain way.
We'll get riled up all week.
But listen, feeling patriotic. And it's ironic that when people call this movie a propaganda film, they respond as if they had just seen a propaganda film and say, no, I love this country.
It came out at the right time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know all the individual circumstances that surrounded his death, the guy with PTSD that killed him. I know this much. This is a fact, is that Chris Kyle has been more valuable to this country and its government, not necessarily the country, dead than he was alive. Because this has riled up people all over the place. You've got people on Twitter saying, we're going to get them ragheads. I hate all Arabs, blah, blah, blah.
They riled up again, like the towers.
Exactly. Look. It's like they
and
just...
one thing in the movie that I do recall, several scenes show, well, a few scenes show the two towers, 9/11.
And what station was he, what country was he stationed in?
Iraq.
Okay, and what connection did Iraq have to the Twin Towers?
Now we know.
Zero? But why don't I make a movie about, you know, the Civil War and show pictures of King George?
Back again, baby.
Right. Completely irrelevant issues.
Yeah.
They told us we were going in direct, you know, weapons of mass destruction. It was never connected to 9/11 at all. No matter what story of 9/11 you choose to believe, Iraq is not in any of them.
So what are we taking from here, Sam?
I think right now the most important thing is waking everybody up. When they, especially when they come out with a movie like this, you see people that are kind of on the fence, that are coming over towards the truth and seeing things for the way they are. They put something like this out, and all of a sudden they run back to their corner of comfort. They run back to that blanket and that security of the propaganda, because it resonates inside and makes them feel something good. But really, it's just a lie.
Like an American.
Right. Right. Absolutely. It's like watching Hulk Hogan as a little kid. It's like watching there's no difference between watching American Sniper and watching Captain America. They're both just made-up stories.
He's a hero.
Right. He's an American hero.
160-some kills?
It was 160 confirmed. And by the guy that we know on record, a liar, he said 255 was the total, including the unconfirmed deaths. You know, who knows? What we do know is he killed a lot of people. He seemed to show zero remorse for it in his own writings. I know he was conflicted. It tore him up. If you listen to Clint Eastwood and Bradley Cooper talk about it. But in his real life, as he said, from the quote I read earlier, he was happy.
So how do you feel about Clint Eastwood? Directing his movie.
You know, Clint Eastwood's Clint Eastwood. I could have been a bunch of different directors. You know, he's just the director. He's the guy that could tell that story for him to get the people riled up. He did it. I think it's irrelevant.
Well,
kind
you need
of
to see this movie, man.
I've seen clips of it online. I've seen enough of it. I've read about it, and I've read Chris Kyle's story in his book. So I don't need, you know, I've seen enough to know what's true in the movie and what is said in the book. And there's so many conflicts. I know that Mustafa, the sniper, whatever his name is in the movie. But he has
the Olympian.
Right. Okay. So in real life, they kind of came across each other at one point. There was never a rivalry. There was no shot that killed him. There was nothing like that. That was all for TV. It was all for people's imaginations to make them look at a flag and give a big salute. Everybody has to get outside of this. It's us versus them. No matter if it's in this country, it's us versus them with one group of people.
Yeah.
And in a broader scale, it's Americans versus Arabs, or Christians versus Muslims. We're all human beings on this planet. And the thing about the people in Iraq and the thing about the people overseas is that those people, there are bad people over there. There's bad people over here. And guess what? The majority of those people are just like the majority of people here. They live everyday, boring, mundane lives. They go about their business trying to provide for their families. These countries aren't just whirlwinds. It's not the Tasmanian devil like the news will have you believe.
Yeah, like it's just going on.
Right. They make you believe that there's just people running around all the time just killing each other.
Yeah.
These people live everyday normal lives. But that's not the rhetoric that's going to get more troops sent overseas.
And the thing about it, and what's so crazy when the media puts all this out is that they stop showing all the other important things, like what's going on in Mexico. It's still happening.
Right, and the mayor got arrested for the 43 deaths.
Yeah.
Have you seen that on anything?
Well,
we reported about it. But you're absolutely right. These things are used as tunnels of distraction to keep you looking a certain way. Look at the right hand so you don't know what the left hand is doing.
North Korea. Career.
Oh, my gosh. He brought that up tonight.
Yeah, well, they had to. Because then the story came out. Who did it first?
Yeah, and they're
2010.
He talked about the hack, and he talked
why
about
does he had to talk about the hack.
Well, know? he also reiterated the fact because of that hack that Americans have a right to privacy. NSA, are you kidding me? The NSA in our country, and this guy's talking about how we have a right to privacy. What he did say that I heard tonight was very arrogantly saying, no, we can do whatever we want. It's just when other people try to do something, we have a problem with it. He was talking about Iran. He said, we want to make sure that our country is completely secure in all things, and we want to make sure Iran doesn't have any of these weapons. I'm not suggesting Iran get any of these weapons, but what place is it of the United States and Israel? Look what Israel just did to Gaza. Okay. So why is it this one person gets to direct the rest of the world? It shouldn't be that way. You know, if everybody, it's like if everybody has a gun, who's going to walk up on you with a gun? They know you got one. They're not going to mess with you. It's when certain people don't have guns. It's why that there's certain people.
Well, they have our guns because, look. And that's what I'm tired of, right?
Right.
I'm seeing all this on TV, and I'm like, hold up. Look at the Humvees. Look at the tanks.
Oh, and the MRAP, yeah. Absolutely. Like, and listen, that's in the streets of the United States.
Yeah, well, not just there. Over in, you know, Afghanistan. Iraq.
Well, the jeeps that ISIS are riding around in, guess who paid for them?
Yeah.
Your tax dollars, yes. My tax dollars. Hey,
and look, they riding them well, I guess. Right?
Yeah, they've got the two. Do you see the story about the $200 million ransom they're requesting right now?
Japan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that they'll be beheading those guys in a few days, man, which is awful.
It's terrible. You know, I still.
What do you call him, Terrorist John?
The British guy. I can't remember what they called him. I know it was the British guy. The guy was a British rapper, I think they said he was. At one point, he was a British rapper.
They don't know who he is. Right.
But I guess. Well, they probably do. I'm sure they just have to look at the tax returns from his pay stub. But, so, anyways, we've got everything going on with the economy. We've got also, I'm going to throw out the phone number for people to call in if they want to give their opinion on the State of the Union or on the movie or anything else that you'd like to talk about. You can call in at area code 718-717-8296. That's area code 718-717-8296.
So how do you feel about Rand Paul's response?
You know,
because we haven't
the response, the response. The response, and clearly, we are completely skating over the Republican response. They brought the church lady out there, and that was just absolutely laughable. Rand Paul probably has more of a serious response, but at the same time, Rand Paul, what he said in his response did sound good. I'm still not completely sold on him yet. Area code 951. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up?
What would you like to talk about?
shit. I don't know.
Anything pertaining to the topics that we've been going over tonight?
How about how to make some change? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, whatever you'd like to.
Well, I was thinking, imagine this. Like, we set up an event or something, and we get a bunch of people from all across the country to go in front of government buildings and just smoke a bunch of weed to try and get it legalized, you know? And if they arrest everyone, then I feel like most people could see how stupid of a law that is. And
you would, I think that's a demonstration like that, although is a good idea. You know, that was tried in the 1960s and it has been tried for decades.
Yeah, they've been trying it in Philly, and I think that helped them, like.
Yeah, absolutely. But thank you so much for your call. You have a good evening. But, so, yeah, I mean, absolutely people need to organize. Oh, and that reminds me, too, on the 31st of the month, speaking of organization, we have the National Day Against Terror or torture coming up. Forgive my language, my words there, but, yes, on the 31st.
They've been throwing that terror in your face.
Oh, I know it. I'm terrified. Oh, they're coming to get you. Terrorist. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the National Day of Torture. I know they're going to be in cities all across the country. I know you can find it on Facebook. If you just type in National Day of Torture. It's January 31st. Definitely want to give a shout out to that. We will be giving y'all more updates as we get them and a rundown of the cities as well. So back, we were talking about Rand Paul and his response. He definitely, he stated on a few good things. He talked about term limits for politicians, speaking about how the president already has term limits. So why are there senators and congressmen that just go for life?
In which I can't understand. I think that we should have term limits. I agree.
Absolutely. Because then you can't get such, the banks will still find somebody. And the lobbyists will still sign somebody, and the corporations will still find somebody, but they're not going to have somebody that's just entrenched, and you're not getting them out no matter what. Do you really think the people of South Carolina love Lindsey Graham? He keeps winning, though. Harry Reid keeps winning. John McCain keeps winning.
He wins.
Yeah. All these people, they're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. But who's getting out the vote also, you know?
Well, hey, Barack definitely talked about, he told everybody tonight, his quote was, the right to vote is sacred in this country. It's sacred. This is coming from the same president from Chicago, first off. They've never had voter fraud in Chicago, ever. There were never stories running rampant about the elections of the primaries between him and Hillary, talking about these votes were getting thrown out, that vote was getting thrown out. We're not talking about a country where Diebold runs elections and basically just comes up with whatever result they want. We're not talking about when Al Gore did beat George W. Bush. We're not talking about even, this goes back as far as Richard Nixon beat John Kennedy in 1960. But guess what? There were some boats floating down the river in Chicago. So the right to vote, as Obama says, is sacred. I say the right to vote is an illusion because they're going to put in power who they want. If that's not the case, then why has the person who has run for president and had the most money backing them won every single time in the history of this country? Obama talked tonight about how he wants to get, we shouldn't be spending all this money on elections. We shouldn't be doing any of that. Meanwhile, he was the first person to run for president that had $1 billion backing him. How do you think he got elected? He wouldn't be, the man would not have been elected if he would go by his own rules.
Follow the money.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, he don't want you to see that. Look at the right hand so you don't see what the left hand's doing. That's how it always works with everything, no matter what. It's a big distraction. And now with him saying, we're going to give you some free things, we're going to make things better for you, you're not looking at the clear, full picture about what that really entails. First off, this country doesn't have money for any of those things he's talking about at all.
They all talk about it.
They all talk about it. And the answer is not more government. Not for the government to step in and fix this, or for more government to step in and fix that. The answer
is the plan.
You better believe it's the plan. The answer is for less government on all accords. The federal government has established themselves as completely untrustworthy. And it's gone back for decades and decades.
But I think that more Americans are, you know, waking up.
I believe that we're getting there. I believe as long as we keep up the good fight and keep pushing the information out there, that more people are waking up and coming around to our way of thinking. I believe Ron Paul, that was a great push forward in the past election. Somebody, whether you voted for him or not, somebody that's actually saying, hey, wait a second, I don't want the government running my life. I don't want all these wars going on. I don't want you spending my money on this. And so many people ran to this guy that, you know, was an almost 80-year-old man, an 80-year-old white man from Texas, ironic, which is the opposite of the other Texans we're talking about, a guy that wants less government.
I guess they kicked him out of the group.
Yeah. But, you know, that was a positive sign for change in this country. And I think he sparked a lot of beliefs in people, and I think that, you know, spread off into a lot of different areas.
And with everything that's going on, I think that we will see, you know, more people and young people getting more involved also.
Absolutely. Well,
and sharing the word, which we have.
Absolutely. I agree. I think the important thing as far as young people go is for them to be educated, because there's...
Well, they're going to be able to go to...
Oh, yeah. Well, everything's fixed now. They're going to get free 2 years of school. All right.
Well, what's...
It's all fixed now. Because, look, this is what happened in 2008. The young people came out to vote. And guess what? We're where we were in 2006. It's just a different man, but the country's in the same spot. So,
stuck.
Right. So just because they had a spokesperson for the government get out there and rile young people up to go vote and said all these things about hope and change, none of it happened. We're in the exact same boat as we were. So it's not necessarily getting the young people out. It's educating everyone and getting the correct information out. And, it, you know, as long as people keep watching the CNNs and the Fox News and the MSNBCs, it's going to be an uphill climb. Luckily, I feel people are finally realizing they've been doing nothing but lying to us for all these years.
A lot of people, like, I heard my dad say the other day, he's like, well, you can't. He said, man, nowadays, the government lied to you so much. Well, they've been lying to us, Pops.
Right.
But now it's like, they don't just lie to you. They lie to you dead in your face and be like, hey, we lied to you. So, but
right,
get over it.
Exactly. Well, look, and I think people are under this perception of, look at the stories of cops throughout the years in this country and stuff that they did to black males in the South, especially all over the country. The stories about cops. Look at stories of, like, Richard Nixon. The majority of this country believes that the government was involved in killing Kennedy. This is my question. At what point did you, what point do you believe, if everything's okay now, did all these people with power go, no, I'm going to give up my power and I'm going to be good? When do you think that transpired? That's not how human nature works. People grab on the power and they seize it and they run with it.
Yeah, and sometimes they hide it.
Right. And they talk about, Obama talked about how we're not torturing people anymore. You really believe we're not torturing anybody? Exactly. We've got the CIA torturing people in Iraq during the whole war. You think they just said, oh, no, we're not going to do that anymore?
They're still torturing.
Right, exactly. They're still doing it.
At this moment.
Exactly, despite what the president said on his State of the Union. He also said for the seventh year in a row, they're going to close Guantanamo. He can say it till he's blue in the face, but nothing's happened.
Still open.
You better believe it's still open. He's, you know, the good news with as far as Cuba goes, I think it's good that he's opening relations with Cuba. I'm terrified of the fact he's going to use that open relationship to start giving them money.
I have a question. Did anything get ran over where we're going to, like, eventually get labor laws in this country.
Oh, well, that was something he promised in 2007. No, you think that was mentioned tonight? Absolutely not.
We forgot about all that.
Remember, I told you he had to get young people to vote for him. It hasn't been forgotten about because there's millions of people for the past two consecutive Mays that have worldwide marched in the streets for March Against Monsanto. Mm-hmm. So, no, people have not forgotten about it. But as far as the talking heads on TV, they have. As far as the guy in the blue suit standing in front of the American flag tonight, he certainly forgot all about it. But the people have not forgotten about it. And that's right. Why we have hope. And that's why there's hope of change. It's not going to come in one person that you check their name next to on a ballot. The hope and change that you want to see is going to come from within you and with us and within the community. It's going to come from us coming together and realizing that we don't have all these differences and that the people that maybe do want to have labor laws, it's to say, hey.
We should have a choice.
There should be
a choice.
Way,
there's no way that China should, you know, have labor laws in their country and America doesn't.
Well, the problem, too, is the accountability. And this is the big thing with the government because I believe that the government could pass. See, saying that there should just automatically be labor laws, that's great, but these corporations need to stop just making the stuff entirely because that's just saying, well, I want the government to fix this for me. Again, that asking the government to fix something for you doesn't always work out. The corporations and the lobbyists are still controlling behind the scenes, and they're going to find their way around some law. So what does need to happen is that people need to become aware of what they're eating. It doesn't need to be done in secret and in the shadows with everything. That's the problem with the world today, the country we live in, and everything you hear on TV.
Closing the curtains on everything?
Exactly. It's the Wizard of Oz. Everything's done in the shadows. But really, there's just a few people controlling the situation, whether it be the banks, the lobbyists. It's certainly not the talking heads on TV. Because the people really controlling the show aren't stupid enough for you to know who they are.
Yeah. Well, they keep the curtains closed. You know, I like to keep my curtains closed, too.
Right.
Especially when I'm getting down.
Right.
You know, I guess they do, too. Especially when they're, like, taking all the money and killing people, robbing, you know. What else?
Well, look at, you know, the Bush family is deeply connected with this because of Prescott Bush. And that's not to say, oh, Republicans, bad, Bush administration. It's just history that it's all the same political party.
Prescott was hell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they funded both sides during World War II. So they didn't have to worry about who won. They were still going to be in charge either way. I heard Bill Ayers, of all people, speaking the other day, and he was talking about, I thought it was funny, how, you know, this hardcore left guy was talking about, you know, I'm never going to vote for Hillary Clinton because, you know, she believes in the big military. She's been militarized, and she's got Wall Street in her back pockets. So,
hey, look, you're right. She loves the military.
But she's going to fight. But she's going to be the person that they put up for president? Come on. People are more awake than that. But see, as I've said many times on this show, and as I've said many times in private, the next person sitting in the White House will be a Republican. It's going to happen. It fits the narrative. It fits the script. It's how it works.
Yeah, we've been.
It doesn't mean anything's going to change. It doesn't mean anything. Right.
So we've been saying it. So they land it. It's so in plain view right now.
Right? If you keep up with this long enough and you see the signs, you can. It doesn't make you a prophet. It just means you can see. You just know what they're going to do next because you've seen them do it over and over and over and over. They never diverge from the script very much. It's the same thing over and over and over.
That's wars amongst us again, man. or something like it. It drains me even thinking about
it. Oh, no. But Obama said never had all those wars.
No.
You don't. What? No. You don't believe that the great Barack would get on.
I wasn't to bet you.
Uh-huh.
Before the end of February.
Right.
Drone strikes. Heavily.
In Yemen.
In Yemen.
Well, look, I told you on this show when I saw the French bombings what was going to happen. So absolutely I believe that will happen. I'm not losing my money. I'm not taking that bet.
Well, I'm willing to bet you on it.
Well, I'm not going to lose my money over that one. That's just absolutely crazy talk. But, yeah, I believe we're going to be in Yemen. For what extended period of time? Forever in one way, shape, or form. Well, hey, but see, here's the thing. We've already been over there in capacities that just haven't been put on TV and in the media. We've been over there for years in one way, shape, or form. Obviously, what's going on now is they're looking to escalate things.
Well, you know, some of the embassy workers and employees were shot at today also.
Right. Yeah. Well,
so
I'll be worried when they're calling for stand down orders or whatever happens, and they've got a consulate getting run over in the middle of the night, and they're telling me that a YouTube video calls the whole thing.
YouTube,
you're right, yeah. Right. But
see, I know it's more to come. You know, I've been away, you know, not on vacation, just sick, away from the show, and I'm happy to be back. Sitting with you in the studio, SM.
Absolutely.
I know you've been holding it down.
So tell me, do you think that the president, even though he didn't name the number tonight, it's the actual number that obviously, why would he want to say this, but adding $320 billion of extra taxes, how do you think that's going to work out for everybody? We're not taxed enough?
Dude, we're about to see a great fall. I told you, hey, in the next 2 years, if you don't have it all together, you won't be getting it together.
Absolutely. People need to start investing in the cryptocurrencies. Yes. They need to start taking care of themselves and their families.
Well, it's just, you know, now it's all about the middle class. Now, who to tax next? You know,
hey, what middle class?
Thank you.
What middle class? Just because there's a talking line on television, where the middle class is gone. It's the rich of the rich and everybody else. So, unfortunately, I don't see a middle class in this country anymore.
And the kiss, like, could you just tell me what was up with all the kissing today?
Well, we know what they do in private. That's a whole different show that it's too late into it to get going on that. But I think Nixon said it best when he was on tape talking about the Bohemian Grove. He said, you know, it's just a bunch of basically, I think his quote was, I think it was the most GD faggoty place in the world. That was his response in the 70s to this. So, you know, they do their thing, whatever. I'm not going to judge them for it. We've got bigger problems in the world.
Yeah, but
I feel more sorry for Michelle than anybody, if that's the case. But
yeah.
No, I'm just kidding everybody, whatever. And yeah, okay, whatever.
Well, and we want to appreciate the callers that did call in. Sorry that we weren't able to get all the calls tonight, but we'll be back in full effect Thursday.
Yeah, we'll still be here Thursday, hopefully, if our ranting and raving didn't get us canceled tonight. But, you know, as Obama said tonight, the government's going to continue hunting down the terrorists, and we're going to continue hunting down the lies of the government. Hopefully, we will have a huge turnout for the 31st of January. That is something that people really need to believe in. But we will see y'all Thursday. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Yo.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo, stereo.